Okay, Sharon, boost up the two orange ones just a hair. No, not that much. Thank you. Okay.
You know a smile never goes out of style, so brighten up the one that you wear. Let it shine, then you just might find you lighten up the load that you bear. You know, with all the trouble and sorrow in the world, it seems like the least we can do is take that smile into the street, share it with everybody you meet every day. I want to shake somebody's hand every day. I want to make somebody know that they can, that they can. Every day. I want to try. Show my brothers and my sisters that I want to help them along the way. You know, a kind word, it never goes unheard, it too often goes unsaid. And the tongue of the young and the old, it's swallowed up with pride instead. You know, with all the trouble and sorrow in the world, it seems like the least we could do is take that smile into the street, share it with everybody you meet.
News for you. I'm not following that. You never thought you'd hear that day. I am following something that high. You better sneak something in there that makes me look good.
Well, it ain't gonna be me.
I got news for you. You always make me look good. Always. No, it's the truth. It's the truth. You know, that song is I want to help my brothers and sisters along the way every day. When Donald met me, I was a very uptight. I was Jeremiah. I really was Jeremiah. I loved God and I thought he sent me, but Jesus Christ, this is ridiculous. I had decided that humanity wasn't worth preaching to. They haven't changed. They killed all the prophets. They killed Christ. In this church, if they had the opportunity, half the times would kill me. I said, it isn't worth it. Humanity isn't going to change. Our technology increases, but our intent and judgments and hatreds and bitterness and wars increase. So I said, let me out. I don't care anymore. They aren't worth it. And when I was saying that to Gene and I are getting in custom, and I'm going to explain that a little bit tonight, of getting in spirit with each other. When Gene and I, our energy is together in the vestry. It happens in the vestry. Because there's an energy in there. That room's so dedicated to a purpose that when we step in it, we become the purpose we dedicated it to where our hearts really are. It's like a deep compression chamber in that little room. Bill and Linda and Effie and Lucille were all a part of building that for me, new members of the church. And when we get together, it's like her energy coming off of her consciousness and my energy coming off of my consciousness throws us way up into an alternate state of consciousness where we understand and can talk to each other about things that were so secret, so deep, maybe painful, questioning way deep within us that before the question wasn't even clear. We would like to ask what's wrong if we only know how to ask. Well, we step into another consciousness with each other, and it's like a third spirit is in our presence and speaks to us. And I believe that's true. It's the spirit of our love. 1 + 1 in physics now equals 3. When Gene and I are together of one heart and one accord, there's a third spirit amongst us. It's not her. It's not me. But without her, he wouldn't be. Without me, it wouldn't be. This is one sound. That's another sound. That's a third sound. That the two make a sound that either individually could not make. That is the purpose of having lovers in your life. People that you can cherish. People you can make a sound with. A sound so forceful that it begins to be the first note of a song. And all of you, when you hear that, you write love poems and romantic meditations or spiritual writings because you heard a note. You heard the sound of spirit. You felt the wind of spirit. The wind of change come through your life. And the wind of change that comes in the fall makes so many of us depressed. And we go through Christmas down and winters are hard on us. But come summer and the sun's up and the beach is rolling, we don't care if we get kicked out of our apartments. We don't care if we lose our jobs. It's summertime. What happens to you in the summer isn't half as bad as what happens to you in the winter, is it? Because there's sunshine and warmth. And all the earth is a support system. You could even sleep outside in the summer. You can get to the forest. You'll be okay in summer. The promise of spirit is to bring you to that eternal summer where it'll always be warm. There'll always be a way. It will always be safe. I will always be amongst you. If you really love each other, if you really care each other, I'm not speaking just the church. I'm speaking about love that's between any two of you that's come together. I'm speaking about any friendship that you're trying to build. I'm asking you, some of you I know so well, you've gone through so many people and you're still so damn stubborn. If you love someone, you give up a part of yourself. It is a sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice that's given willingly because you want to merge with them. The ego stops you. And then we all think love dies. I was reading a line today about a rose. You can either curse the thorns of a rose, or you can thank God for the fragrance, the beauty, and the delicacy of a rose.
Some say love, it is a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leaves your soul to bleed. Some say love, it is a hunger and it's only fear.
Sarah. She's new to you. We fell in love with each other at the ranch. She had to work very hard to get into the ranch. And here we tell everything. I watched her go up and down the road for hours. And I kept seeing the same car going up and down the front of the dirt road at the ranch, all the way down the canyon, through the creeks, all the way back, down the canyon, through the creeks, all the way back. And finally she arrived and she looked like the person I thought was in the car. And I asked her if she drove a certain car, a certain color, with white something hanging in the back. And she said, yes. Well, she was riding up and down that road long before nightfall. But she didn't arrive on the ranch until nightfall. And she told me, she says, well, that's the way it is in my life. I have to work hard for everything that is good. She really has to deserve it. She really has to earn her good. It hit me very deeply when Sarah said that to me, because Don always says that to me. Don says that he is not entitled to personal joy, personal happiness, personal pleasure, unless he has earned it. I immediately went on a campaign to talk him out of that. Because if I let him believe that, and I thought it was all right for him to believe that, that means I would start feeling like I had to deserve my personal pleasure, my personal life, and my personal happiness. I would have to deserve it. Now, I am very clever with words and very clever in the tongue, and I know in my own mind I can summon all kinds of spirits to help me prove whatever it is I want to prove. There are all kinds of spirits that you may summon to help you prove what you want to prove. But when you cease to play the right and wrong game, and you're not trying to prove anything, then you summon the Spirit to bring you the truth and the Spirit to help you deal in your life on an everyday basis in sincerity. And the Spirit of God starts visiting unto each one of your houses. Whether you're married, single, straight, gay, incorporated, a groupie, I don't care. I will take the risk of spiritually saying so. For where two or three people or four people or five people or six people are gathered and agree upon anything, and as long as there is no victim involved, there is no victim. But it is a support, a loving group system of people of equal consciousness who are totally concerned and love each other and agree, I am in their midst. And from this seed, no matter what you, the public, you, the majority, may think, You, the majority in your self-righteousness. You, the majority in your judgment. You, the majority of humanity in your condemnation, means nothing and will gain you in the long run nothing. Because out of all these games and falseness, I depict a seed of sincerity, laying in a place of decay and darkness, according to you. But my majority of people, wherever decay and darkness exist and a seed falls, it germinates quickly to growth and begins to twine and grow and reach until it finds the light and then brings forth fruit a hundredfold. Have any of you ever felt like you were a seed that was so full of potential? You may count the seeds in an orange, the seeds in a grape, but no one can count the trees and the fruit that is contained within a seed. The potential of a seed is far greater than the tree, the orchard, the fruit from which it came. You are far greater than the physical parents from which you have sprung. You are far greater, and you yearn and you hunger for the meaning and the joy of life. And it goes beyond your conscious source. And it goes beyond your conscious parents. Many of you have found happiness in spite of your parents. Many of you have found happiness in spite of your jobs, your ex-husbands, your ex-wives. There is that force within you, like the plant that grew in darkness as you might have felt you have grown. In darkness because you were not in the same light as your family. You were not to the same consciousness. You didn't hate the same kind of people. In fact, you were one of the kind of people, if they ever knew, the people that they call names and make fun of is what you are. And when you hear your mother and your father and your sister and your brother scream, fat, ugly, pig, woman, faggot, queer, all these things, you're one of those very things that they're screaming about other people, aren't you? Listen deeply to the calls and the voices of earth, and then listen deeply to the stirrings of the spirit within you, and then choose this day whom thou shalt worship, and this day whom thou shalt live for. There is always the voice of God for every man, no matter what his actions, no matter where his love life, no matter what his business, be he barkeep, be she a madam, be they a producer of pornography, be whatever they are, the judgment of society does not belong upon them, because in that moment of truth of someone expressing where they are in the truth, can the Spirit of God work with a bit of love and acceptance? Most people rob society just to get even with society. And if you ever looked at society, the way it treats most people, they have a right to put out the worst garbage they can. They will put back the filth back out to all the people that ever called them. When one girl fell in love as a teenager with a young boy and wind up in a back seat at a love and affection and didn't understand what in the hell overtook her, what energy, what power, all she's going to hear it was Satan, it was evil, it was the devil. And when she does get over her guilt and does confess her sins and does go through altar call and then finally gets married in the Baptist church and then finally walks up the aisle and she's making love to her husband and she remembers the guy who took her in the back seat when she was a 15-year-old teenager, did God just bail out or something? Are these not the realities that you and I face of everyday life? Have you allowed people to lower us in such shame and in such guilt that we, the people who are desirous to know the truth and the spirit, there isn't one single one that I know in this church. There isn't one single consciousness that I can behold before me that in their heart of hearts don't want to be the most honest and decent person they possibly can be, but in order to be honest and decent, they have to begin by being who they are. How can you be an honest, decent person to everyone if you can't be honest and feel decent about who you are? Hello, hello, hello. I'm calling Earth. So there's a stirring that comes deep inside of us. There's a dichotomy of life we must face. There is our ego who's learned, I am the part of you that grew up when you were an animal. You and I evolved out of the survival of the fittest. It's in our genes. And our egos and our strength had to be strong when we walked into jungles where there were dinosaurs. If science is right, along with the evolutionary theory, and if you read Genesis, this evolution, it does not fight with Genesis at all. If you understand what a day is, in that time and space. What you could do a day back then, it might take you all day to go over the orchard and get an apple, depending on where you live. Today you can have an apple in your home and order the orchard. Did you follow me? I'm talking about Apple computers. Then you used to walk a mile maybe to get an apple at the orchard. Now today you have the apple in your home and you can order the orchard. The days have changed. Hear me again. So you understand where we were and why we believed what we believed while we were there. Because that was the smartest thing to believe while you were there, wasn't it? You needed your smarts. You needed your instincts to survive. And what you believed was the best thing you could believe in order to get through that space and time. But you are through that space and time. You're no longer animals. You're a little more than animals, and you're a little less than angels. And there is this survival thing that goes in us, that's ingrained in us all the time. And it's our ego that needs to get and needs to be fed. Why we're now we've left our ego and we've talked to our spirit a little bit, and all the spirit wants to do is give away everything we get. It keeps giving and giving. Your ego says, oh, goddamn, I'll ever marry, love anybody like that again, man. I used to be sweet and pretty and wear pink bows, but I'm ready for the next male sucker that comes along. I'm going to the bar. I know how to handle this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I know how to handle this. Okay, this is the way you play the game. Then when you play the game, you get everything that goes with the game, and you're in the game, and the game becomes eternal like a pit you can't get out of. It's called hell. It isn't easy to get out of the game, but it's sure as easy to get in the game, isn't it? Happens before you know it. You're playing this game with somebody, and now it's for life and death. That's the ego. But then there's the spirit that keeps giving and keeps caring. And even though the ego swore would never be subservitude or dominated or listened or directed by anyone again, the spirit falls in love all over again and is about to be directed and dominated in certain areas, and it happens all over again. Thank God. Thank God, thank God. Thank God, even though you said never again, that you are again. No man's ever died and gone to God. No man. Man dies in his conscious world, goes back to all that is in his unconscious world, all that he's ever experienced from the beginning, and he gets into the unconscious world and knows there's too much baggage to get to the superconscious world, so he comes back into the conscious world to get rid of some baggage, to learn some lessons. To get some wisdom, where there used to be heavy ego and survival of the fittest, and I'll get you, and an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, and you live this way, and you go home, this energy is with you, it's baggage, it's the camel trying to get through the eye of the needle, it can't get through, you come back to earth just to get rid of your hang-ups, you come back to earth to get rid of your opinions, you have come back to earth to get rid of your concepts, you have come back to earth to get rid of your beliefs, yet all that you come back for to get rid of, you will die to defend. Explain to me, please. All you have been born to get rid of, you will die to keep on to. The survival of the fittest is in war with your spirit. And the survival of the fittest is ingrained in you. There were a time where you believed that the punishment of God was later, when you died, and it was true. Towns were small. There wasn't televisions. I'm going back 40 years. Not too many people had television 40 years ago. There was not condominiums where little houses stood with great big yards. You could be a sneak, a pervert, a child molester, a robber, a thief, a murderer, a mugger. You could be anything you want, and hardly anybody would know in your whole lifetime. There was no film at 11 to tell the town. There was no news at 5 o'clock. There was no newspaper delivered to your door. There was no telephones back when we're talking about. And people could do terrible things and nothing ever happened to them. So they came to the conclusion, wait a minute, you can't do terrible things and have nothing ever happen to you. Their inner intelligence knew that wasn't true. So because what was happening to them or should come back from cause and effect didn't, then man decided in his religion that effect must be later. And whatever I cause now, I'm going to get when I get home. And it's going to be miserable or happy, heaven or hell. It was true. These people had a harder time answering for what they do, but you're the same people. This generation shall not pass away, Jesus said in his time, till all of this teaching has been fulfilled. You're that generation. Now, just try doing anything, anywhere. It's on, you watch your televisions on Nightline now, you're in 5 countries at the same time. Rome, Paris, Italy, New York, California. You're all over the globe instantly. Kidnapping goes on, you're there looking at the plane while you're sitting in your living room. You're looking at all the negotiations. Something's gone on in Cambodia, something in Beirut, something in South America, you're there. Bzz, you're there. Information is so much today. Now if you do something wrong, chances are if you do something wrong in the morning, you're going to be caught by evening.
Now they track you down. Now they find you. The days have been shortened. And because of that, we have now come to understand God is not a cash and carry plan. This is the time where the banks have stopped giving Visa and Master charges, theologically or spiritually speaking. The new doctrine and the new covenant, there was the old covenant. Jesus came and said, I give you a new covenant, and I'm coming to tell you there is another new covenant coming before you. And there's no cash and carry plan. We have reached the time in the evolution of man that whatever you sow, you'll reap right away. Whatever you judge, the judgment will be right there with you instantly. Whatever you condemn will move in right alongside of you and condemn you equally. Wherever you give, it'll be given unto you right away, right there, shake down. The time has come. Don't you know that? So you be very careful where you are in your heart. And you know that the most important thing is happiness. That you are happy in who and what you are without judgment of comparing yourself to someone else. Comparison will only make you vain or bitter, and both of them stink. That's what comparison does to you. Not who has more. I don't care if you live in the simplest, poorest place in the world. Are you studying? Are you learning? Do you love people? Are you happy? Are you happy? Mansions and cars and right jobs and the best-looking lover in Long Beach when you go into the bar or go to the movie or to a restaurant will not make you happy. Are you really happy? Is it happiness you're seeking? For in that state of happiness is usually found in its states of simplicity. The simpler you are in your lifestyle and with your friends means you're living way beneath your means, not way above your means. You're only living above your means in order to compete. I wish you would be happy living beneath your means and not wanting and needing so much and having so much more. That you are happy. For where that happiness and that joy is that note of the Spirit where it begins. And everything has a luster and a meaning and a glory that is beyond all understanding. This final words I would give to you, that I would speak, and I ask that you listen to me carefully. You always wonder what value is in their forgiving those who have offended you. These people have offended you. Why should you do good to someone who's done bad for you? You want to do bad back, and if you're too Christian to do bad back unto them, then you're praying for God to get that sucker. But you're waiting for it to return one way or another. And you're still measuring eyes for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I would like to tell you the most wonderful energy about forgiveness. Forgiveness allows love to return to your awareness where there was no love and you were constantly aware of it. Did you follow me? What you will not forgive. I've met a friend recently who I'm just learning to know. Federal police officer. And I'm listening to all the things in his life he has never forgiven. And they, even to me, a stranger, they're on his mind. Not only has he told me once as we just met each other, he's told me 10, 12, 30 times. This is a good person, a real good person. Do not misunderstand me. But forgiveness is not in there. And in their greatest joy, they've been visiting my house and they love the park and the view. And they've been spending the week with me because they're on vacation and I've been doing some work and some counseling. We're talking, we're knowing each other. Wonderful thing is happening. Never had a happier week in his life. But I'm amazed in all the places in utopia he finds himself. He constantly tells me about things he cannot forgive and what people have done unto him. Do you hear my final words? When you forgive, the greatest gift in forgiveness is yours. When you truly forgive, love returns to your consciousness. Love returns to your awareness, where your awareness is always. Isn't that a gift to give to yourself? Does it still matter who was right or who was wrong? Does it still matter that 10 years later you get to finally prove to them what they did to you? Do you want that for another 10 years? Or would you just like to practice the art of forgiveness and allow love to return to your consciousness, release the endorphins from your brain, and heal your bodies? Praise be the name of Jesus Christ.
The truth was all around me, but I closed my eyes and ears. I was looking for the answer somewhere else. Now I've learned to listen when I used to only hear. I found the answers deep inside myself. Into I can see heaven's heartbeat in the stars that shine above. I can feel the power of universal love. With all my imperfections, there's still a place for me. I'm finding how good life can be. Into a thousand different teachers tried to teach me how to sing, but none of them could show me harmony. I'm feeling so much better now, singing in the key above, with a different drummer keeping time for me. In tune, I can see heaven's heartbeat and the stars that shine above. I can feel the power of universal love. With all my imperfection, there's still a place for me. I'm finding how good life can be. In tune, I can see heaven's heartbeat in the stars that shine above. Oh, I can feel the power of universal love. But in all my imperfection, there's still a place for me. I'm finding how good life can be.
I told her she was in the offering. I'll do the offering. I really need to do this offering because I want to tell you something, and you can take this any way you want to or interpret it. It doesn't matter anymore. When I was saying earlier in my lecture that, God, I don't wonder, is it worth preaching anymore or really working so hard to get the people to try to hear what it is you are sincerely trying to tell them? And when I was telling that to Jean, all of a sudden a picture flashed in front of my mind. Now, there are certain pictures that you can get in your mind. You don't even have to require time because you can't measure how fast this flashes in your head. And I saw the whole meaning of Peter out on the sea, and he was fishing. And he hadn't met Jesus yet. And Jesus is coming along and saying, what are you doing? Well, obviously, I'm fishing. And Jesus asked him how the catch was. And he said, we have been fishing for I don't know how many hours in this story, and we've caught no fish. And they were wrapping their nets up to go ashore. You couldn't catch a thing in this sea of humanity. You couldn't catch a thing in that sea. And Jesus said, oh, really? Lower your nets. And Peter kind of argued, come on, we've been fishing all night, there's no fish here. And Jesus said, lower your nets. And then if you go on to read it, now let's just talk about this metaphysically. Let's just talk about this, not as a story, but in energy. We're not talking about what we're talking about when we read these parables. These parables are supposed to put little pictures, spiritual pictures in our mind. And you get the strength to lower your nets one more time when the spirit within you tells you, come on, hang in there. Psychology says that every single man, Dr. Irene Crisola, who wrote the number one bestseller, Go For It, for months now, interviewed kings and businessmen and executives, and every one of them experienced 70% failure before they had success. That's an incredible, but that's what separates the men from the boys, isn't it? So it's, come on, lower your nets one more time. When it comes to spirit, I can manifest anything. I got new phones in this building when we couldn't afford to even pay the service bill on the other phones. It was $200 and some a month. Well, things worked out, and we met someone who come and installed the latest technology in phoneware, and we can just buzz and speaker and transfer and intercom each other all over the place. The building need painted. There was no money. I put out in spirit, I need the building painted.
The building was painted. No matter, I said, I need a lake on the ranch. We need to develop. The money was donated. And Richard, who helped us with the lake, it is finished. It's gone in. And Bo said, it is incredible. And it's filling up as we speak.
Wow.
And he said, the lake on the ranch is 250 feet, he said, long and about 150 feet wide so far. And it hasn't gotten quite over. Then there's a 40-foot boulder that comes down. We're going to drop a waterfall off. I'm going to make sure that you people always get to go back to nature. And if I'm out of that flood that came and destroyed our ranch, I'm going to build Yosemite out of that flood. Because it gave me boulders and water. I knew I...
That's how God built Yosemite.
That's how he built Yosemite. Yes. And with Richard's help, he'll build the Double D. 40 trees arrived to landscape around the lake and the riding ring, 40 twisting junipers. Your spirit is so wonderful. Everything is manifesting. But when I am in meditation and I talk to the spirit who guides me, and I do, and so can you, and sometimes maybe it's wonderful to sit down and listen to someone who knows how to reach up into the highest point of themselves and bring the spirit through them to speak to people and to speak about things that are outer expressions of our inner knowings. That's the most beautiful words to hear. Someone saying what you haven't heard, but you've always felt within your heart. My spirit told me, you know, you've asked for everything and you've gotten it, haven't you? And I said, yes. He said, there's one thing that you really need that you haven't asked for. I asked what? He wouldn't tell me. I had to sit there and work it out. Well, hours later, I worked it out. He said, you've never asked for money. I said, that's not true. We've lit candles and prayed in the office for the support to come in, to keep us alive, to keep the doors open. He said, no. That was hopeful desperation. And desperation, you were so desperate to receive, you canceled any hope that the candle was burning for. And every time you looked at the candle, it wasn't a symbol of it freely flowing for something that justly deserves it and water rising to its own level. There was, every time you looked at it, you were desperately hoping it would happen. I have never directly told you the value and the reason I want your money. And it is true. For the first time in the finding of this church, I admit to you, I want your money. Because for the first time in all the years I've been in this church, I never knew what I would do with your money if I ever got it by hook or by crook. Therefore, I never had the combinations to the safe, nor keys to the door, or ever counted the money, or have ever signed a check in this church. I don't trust myself. I got news for you. I do now. And I trust the people that are working for me. I trust my staff. And the staff has never been so close and so tight together. And my spirit, whose name is Philip, and let me give you that much of it, because he said I must speak of him again to teach you something else. And thank God for Thomas Jacobson and a few other people who took me out of my embarrassment about Philip. And I want to come out of the closet and tell you that I have a spirit guide that I've seen who talks to me. His name is Philip, and it's another story and another sermon and another chapter. But I'll be glad to answer your questions. I've always been embarrassed of the way it's said, the way it's done, and the contortions and all the crap that people go through, and the injustices that are said in it. But that has nothing to do with the real value and the real possibility of man entering into a theta consciousness, a super consciousness, where something of a super consciousness can work through right down to the consciousness of man. Isn't that a nice thing to have? I now have touched so much of our dream. I feel like a prisoner who was given a 50-year sentence, and I've already served 49 years and 9 months, and I'm not about to mess up the last 3 months. I've been a good prisoner of love, and I have been a prisoner. So many of us have. Now, I need you to start thinking about the cause that we serve. I need you to think about this church staying here, being safe and secure. I need you to think about it is right and reasonable that we continue that radio and television program so the public can hear the wonderful people and voices of all walks of medicine, psychology, theology, psychics can all come in and speak, to have a voice to speak to the public, and you and I will pay that bill. And as we pay it, many others will join us. And we will give a portion of our life over to something that we believe in. We speak of love, we speak of peace, we speak of harmony. You must help me reach my community, your community, our community, so that you may live in this very community in peace. If our peaceful message does not get out, then you will not need the peace and acceptance for the lifestyles you live. Amen? The man who donated and just showed up and painted this whole church to our absolute delight as a gift to the church. His sister, who was a former minister of this church, was with him, Betty Link, who I love, and her daughter, who was the sweetest, shyest little thing, was with her. Here was the mother, the minister that I loved, and here was her daughter dressed in punk. That when I saw this girl, I didn't know who she was, walk across the street into my church, I immediately thought, oh, Jesus Christ, I don't want people to see someone like that. If the neighbors see this girl in my church, I'll die. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
She had her eyes painted in big black and red, and she had a mohawk that was way up there. Weird. And her mother said, well, she doesn't dress like this every day. She was doing a fashion layout. But I didn't want her walking in and out of the church because I didn't want the neighbors to see her. Shame on me. Shame on me. Right? It goes to everybody, to where they are, if they're sincere and they care. Will you help our community? Will you help us teach our community that people that are different are usually what you wind up loving the most if you give them a chance, because everybody loves the difference. Amen? I need your tithes. I need some of you to become tithing members regularly to pledge that 10%, which is the spiritual law to this church, to this that I believe in. I'm telling you the truth. I pledge, I think, $50 a month more than I make in salary in this church. Is that a joke? I just discovered I was doing that. But I've never let the return come to me because I've been always hopefully desperate. I'm not hopefully desperate anymore. I'm very joyous about what I give here. And I'm going to quit complaining about it all. And I'm going to find a way to give even more, because I have gotten so much from it, beyond all human understanding. And I want you to have the same pleasure. Let's not talk about spiritual truths. If you don't want to obey the law of 10%, then forget the rest of the esoteric teachings, because it takes you giving that much to make it, create it, to build it, and to let it happen on this dimension. Your mind has to have it happen on the next dimension, and your spirit has it happen on another dimension, and so on and so on. Am I clear? It's not for me. It's for what we're reaching out. It's what we're serving. It's what we're trying to not only hear for ourselves, but what we're trying to tell the people who live alongside of us and are very upset with us. Because we're living with him, or living with her, or living with them, or he's this old and she's that old, and we're good people if you give us a chance. All I'm saying is give love a chance. And your support will do that. Well, I guess you must see what you're doing. Where did that come from? Hey, fellas.
Rock my soul in the bosom of Abraham. Rock my soul in the bosom of Abraham.
Come on and rock my soul. tomorrow night at 7:30, we're going to have our Italian dinner. And it's just an evening for all of us to get together and have a nice dinner. And there's going to be singing and entertainment. And it'll just be a lot of fun. And Tony and Laura and Mickey in the back have tickets if you want to see them after services. It'll be a good time. And Saturday at 12 noon, we have a lady named Alice Avenir, who'll be doing a seminar with us on healing with sound. And I've seen some of this lady's work, and I'm really impressed with what she does. And then our healing service will be Sunday night at 8 o'clock. And July's retreat will be the 26th, 27th, and 28th. And Damien's already told you, Lake Richard is in and ready to go. it'll be a great time to really get into it and see what the ranch is all about if you haven't been there. And if you've been there, then it's a good chance to go swimming. Great.
I'll go look at those who are swimming.
Yes, I understand that fully. Yeah.
The choir's doing a few extra outside things this summer, and Sarah standing right there is a part of AA, and we'll be going with her to the, regional convention or something?
Yes, it's the local South Bay Conference.
It's the South Bay Conference, and it's in August. And it looks like we've been invited to Scottsdale, Arizona, to be with the ARE people in January. And so I think we're all ready to do something with what we've got that we've got so richly. It's like a tree that's got all this fruit that's just ready to be, eaten. So if you want to join the choir and be a part of us, I've got room for maybe three people, okay? So this is Sarah. That's a plug, but we're supposed to be singing, right? Okay.
I have a feeling you're getting over being scared to death to sit. I detected a little bit of joy in that last song towards the end. Didn't you? I mean, she almost got the hands going and everything. This girl is such a great singer, but she told me nothing secret in this church, you see. It's like the Volkswagen, nothing sacred in here. She told me she loves to sing. She's been a professional singer, but every time she gets to sing, she goes through such fear. I used to go through that every time I came to this pulpit. After 17 years of speaking on this corner, I ask myself twice a week, what else is there to say? How many times can you say it? I don't have a script. You want to stand up here and try to do this for 17 years twice a week and freelance? You get awfully scared. But it's the point that you're the most frightened is when you're about to make the breakthrough, when you let go and know you're never doing anything on your own. Never. I predict that girl's going to heal with her voice. I don't mean on mass scales will come hear her sing and she'll be in a grotto. But I believe that when she sings in this church, when she sang the rose, I could feel emotional healing in me. I haven't heard that kind of essence in a voice since Mary Walton. And I'm not putting down anyone else's voices. You all have talent. Sharon can get underneath me and lift me where shuffles can't reach. But she knows what the depths and the blues are all about. She's got dumpyitis now and then. So there's all kinds of voice and sound, and wherever they're coming from love with you, and each of them will reach you on their own level, but each of them will reach all of us at one time or another. Thank you. And thank you for all the dedication and music you put into this. You going to sing us home tonight? Yeah. Come sing us good night. Thank you for a wonderful service. When I come here with you, I'm better in myself than I am anywhere else. I really am. Every time I come here, I seem to get a little bit more of it, and I hope you are too. And I do apologize, and I am going to lower my net one more time. And but this time, I'm not in hopeful desperation.
Love is feeling.
Let us make a simple prayer and go about our joyful ways. Amen. I was trying to tell you to remind me of a statement that came when I was sitting there. It's not where will I go to hear the truth, but when will I hear the truth? It's always there. It's a matter of when we want to hear it. If you have the courage with me to make this prayer, then do so. If not, leave it alone. Dear God, if I am in the state of grace, I pray you keep me there. If I am not in the state of grace, I pray you bring me there. Amen. Seek ye first this kingdom, and all things shall be added unto you. Good night. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. Sunday in this church we'll be celebrating Bo's birthday, and this is one of the most beautiful young men who totally gives his whole life over to UMS and working on the ranch of his own free will and caring and sharing. We had a new baby born last Thursday. If you didn't know, it was a surprise to all of us. A baby horse. Yes, thank you very much. I was sorry I didn't breed, because it takes 11 months. I mean the horses. I'm going to leave this while we're spiritually high. Good night. God bless you.